Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer with you on WBEN. Hope everyone's having a good one out there. A little better outside than what I thought it was going to be, you know, throughout the week when talking about the weather. But hey, enjoy your Thursday. Joe, I might have to even leave early. I've got to take my car in. The chip in my windshield turned into a huge crack, which always turns into a huge problem.
Yeah.
Because it's never as easy as the commercials make it seem.
No, of course not. Do you know what put the chip in the windshield?
Yeah, whatever flying rock or whatever on the 290 like slammed into the windshield.
So you noticed it from day one?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. If you didn't hear it, I mean, my son in the back goes, "What was that?"
I'm like, that's the thing. Like, you get the chip and you're like, "All right, I'm going to ride this until I can." And then, like you said, once
it starts. I got it fixed right away. I had the chip filled. Well, yeah, that's what you have to do.
And it didn't work?
No. So then yesterday, I'm going trying to get the refund for the chip filled, and I thought that would be as easy as like, okay, well, clearly that didn't work. Here you go. No, you got to fill out a form, and we'll contact you, and like then it's this and that. And now I got to go and do the, you know, I have to go take the car in. They can't come to you because all the new cars have all the sensors and all this stuff for the smart driving and what I sound like Cosby right now. The smart driving and the cruise control and all that. But so you have to go in and then they recalibrate all that stuff when a new windshield gets put on. So nothing's as easy as it was forever ago. And then on top of that, it's like my least favorite thing that I know we've talked about before here. They're worse than the doctor's office because I make an appointment and okay, here's your email confirmation. Then an hour later, hey, don't forget, you have an appointment. Ready for this? I've gotten 5 emails, 3 text messages, and a phone call. I made the appointment like 2 days ago.
Yeah,
I understand. I am an adult driving a car. You can trust me to make an appointment and not have to remind me 10 times over the course of 24 hours.
But you know why they do that? Because of the one person who threw their entire day off.
Well, whatever. But find the person. So, I am so sick of being inundated with reminders of stuff. Yes, I have it in the calendar. It's there. Like this is what being an adult is about.
That's right.
You tell me something, I mark it down, I'm there. Like, that's it.
It's funny you say, no, I've never had the filler not work. Like, that's a new one. I've called them, and I get this all the time. That chip is too deep. You're going to have to get a new windshield. That's usually the answer I get when I call them for the filler.
I think that's what they should have said.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But no.
I've gotten that. Usually when my windshield gets a, and I'm lucky, knock on wood, I have not had a chip in my windshield for 4 years, but I went through a string of getting chips in my windshield, and almost every time they told me, yeah, I'm sorry, it's too deep. We're going to have to replace your windshield. But the good thing is insurance covers that, so you're good.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
I mean, you got to throw your morning aside, but you're
good. Not good till I'm good, Joe. Not good till everything's done. That's just the pet peeve, right? All the time.
Yeah, don't forget what you did. Yeah, I remember what I did.
Come on. I get it. 803-0930 to join us here on WBEN. You know, sad news today. John Murphy stepping down as Bill's play-by-play announcer. You know, we're both kind of in that age range where we grew up listening to Van Miller and John Murphy. And then John taking over, and we talked about it here with Howard. Like, it was kind of amazing that you had, you know, Van Miller, the voice of the Bills, you know, a Rick Jeanneret level, like that type of right person goes aside. And there really wasn't like any sort of people will still say, oh, I miss Van. But it wasn't like everybody was walking around the next 5 years saying like, you know, I wish we still had Van here. Like, it didn't happen. Like, you would just never imagine a legend like that leaves, John Murphy able to come right in and pick it up like nothing ever happened.
And, I mean, it helped that, you know, we were so used to hearing Murph because he was with Van, right? So you heard Murph with Van, and he took over, and, yeah, I mean, it was seamless. Murph, the voice of the Bills, the I mean, he was great and a Hall of Famer, and sad to hear the news today that he's stepping aside, but so many great memories, so many great calls from Murph at his time doing play-by-play, and he'll definitely be missed on those radio broadcasts.
Yeah, well, tough to hear, but if you want to hear from Murph, if you want to read the entire story, it's all available over at WBEN.com.
Also good to hear from Murph, though, right? Good to hear from him and hear about his recovery, and sounds like he's in good spirits. I mean, very very positive-sounding interview he gave this morning.
Yeah, in good spirits.
Yeah.
For, you know, despite the news and, you know, what he had to do, I mean, that's pretty good spirits for that news.
Very positive vibes about it.
Other story that we had today, Joe, I mean, these all kind of go hand in hand, right? Where Taylor Swift is kicking off her European tour.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we heard from AAA this morning that a lot of people are going over. They're justifying it the same way I might justify buying this Jeff Skinner jersey. Do I need it? No.
Especially if he's not with the Sabres next year.
But it's a third of the price that it would typically be. So really, I'm saving money. But you're not really saving money. That's just what you tell yourself. You're spending money. It doesn't matter if you're spending less money than you would have if you bought it at full price. You're spending money.
Yeah.
You're not saving money. Saving money. Actually, not buying it isn't even saving money. You're just flat.
Right.
Saving money is when I need gas in the car, like something you actually need, and you end up paying half the price or a third of the price.
That's saving
money.
That
would be saving money.
Yeah.
This is not saving
money. Your weekly necessities.
But people tell themselves that they're saving money all the time about stuff where they're not really saving money, like the people going across the Atlantic Ocean to go see Taylor Swift. Well, it's cheaper than if I would have seen her in Butte. I don't think she stopped there on her tour, but you get the
if
idea.
She had stopped in Butte. I mean, that talk about a bucket list
You would go
item.
There.
You could go see the oldest Chinese restaurant and Taylor Swift and go to Montana. Oh my gosh, what a trip.
I mean, I think that's where she would have to play. That's the biggest venue.
Yeah.
the Chinese restaurant. But you have people saying, all right, well, they're justifying it by saying, well, more people paid this amount of money. How often do you see this just on social media? Even in your own life, like if we're really honest with ourselves, you look at other people and what they're doing, and then you do something that you might not have done, or you're spending money you don't have to spend, and you justify it by saying, well, you know, like this person spent all this money doing that. I can do this.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. Oh, look at so and so. They went there for a week. I'm just going here for a weekend.
Exactly. Right. Like, oh, they took a trip to Death Valley. I don't know. All my references this morning are just so far off.
Yeah,
like
Death
things
Valley.
That people would never. I got Taylor Swift in Butte. Your vacation is in Death Valley.
Yeah, Death Valley sounds like a great vacation.
But I'm just going to, you know, Rochester for a weekend.
Right.
Sure, I'm still spending $1,000, but what? It could be worse.
I'm going on a tour of garbage plates.
Yeah, that's. But we all do that, right?
Yeah,
like
of
it
course.
Happens all the time.
You always have to justify the spending, like you said, that you didn't have to make in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're so good at it.
Oh yeah.
As I was talking about yesterday, Joe, $2.1 trillion. That's what Americans had in their savings. Just 3 years ago, in the summer of 2021, $2.1 trillion. Today, it's at zero.
It's amazing.
So we burned through $2 trillion like nothing. That's a lot of lids on highways to go through in just 3 years. Not even.
That's actually a full highway with a lid on it.
That, you might have been able to do the full highway. Well, you know, could we stop ourselves from doing this? There's an initiative to teach high schoolers about money management. It's actually perhaps going to be on the ballot in California this November.
This is a class no student leaves saying, how am I going to use this in real life?
A growing initiative to add financial literacy to the list of high school graduation requirements is gaining momentum across the state.
It's really trying to close the gap, level the playing field so that all young people have an opportunity to learn this essential skill.
The course would teach students how to pay for college, how to manage credit scores, online banking, student loans, taxes, budgeting, and other topics.
Who taught you all of that stuff? 803-0930. Because I'm going to bet that if you call in, the answer's not going to be school. 803-0930. Who taught you financial literacy, like all these things? How did you learn it? And where would you, you know, kind of put yourself right now? And don't you think this is a good idea for high school? What are these things, you know, I wish I knew now what I knew when I was younger? That's not always true. Like, part of the joy of life, right, is like going in unknown, discovering new things, figuring it out on your own. Your whole path like paved for you. But what are those things that you wish you had a little bit more insight in back whenever it was, maybe in school, that you learned in class that really could have helped you in life? This strikes me as number one. The crazy thing about it, Joe, is we say it every single year, over and over and over again. I can't tell you how many people I've heard this exact same thing from. Has anything changed? I mean, do they do it in schools now? Because, I mean, I'm not alone here, right? You hear the same thing. Like, people say, oh, they should have taught me this in high school about simple things like writing a check.
This is... Now, I'm crazy. I thought I took a class that taught me how to write a check. Like, anyone who went to Amherst Central High School when I did, am I making that up? I very well could be. But here's my theory, or here's what I think they should do. And some people are going to get mad at me for this, and that's fine. I don't care. Instead of 4 years of math in high school, I do think your senior year, you could replace a math class, if you wanted to, with one of these financial classes. Like, I think this should be...
It makes perfect sense.
That should be offered, because you're going to be doing... When in math class, yeah, they taught us how to figure out your interest rate, but did they tell you what that interest rate actually does? And, you know, when you're 18 and apply for a credit card, that you're going to be paying a 35% interest rate on every purchase. Again, these are things you should probably do a little self-research, but... I think there's room for that class at the senior year at high school.
Senior year, calculus. You know what I remember from that class? What the room looks like.
Oh my gosh, I don't remember that.
That's it. I remember what the room looked like. Anything that was taught to me, whoosh.
This is how little I remember of calculus. When you say calculus, I think of the song by the group Together, You Plus Me Equals Us, I Know My Calculus.
And this is why we need a change in our high schools. No, but I mean, come on. Isn't it crazy? We say it all the time. You hear people say it all the time. Has it not happened yet? Maybe it has. Correct me if I'm wrong. 803-0930. And what else? I mean, it's not just financial literacy or, like, you know, learning some of these things. I did, by the way, learn how to. It was in grade school, writing a check. We went through, like, they took some of us out in, like, a math group, you know, while math was going on, and they ran us through, like, once a week. They had us buy a car. Like, all right, here, pick a car. Like, how do you pay for it? Like, this is what you find. This is how you write a check. Like, this is how you go through the process. The problem was, it was a little too young. Like, I wouldn't be doing that in my actual life for another,
right. You know, like 10 plus years.
it's much appreciated, but I wish I had a refresher lesson at some point in high school. I never did. I probably learned more in that one little exercise than I did throughout a whole lot of schooling later in my life. What are those other things that you wish you were taught back in school that they don't, that you could have really used? 803-0930. I have one, Joe, and you might say they already do this. They didn't when I was in school. I don't think they totally do. It should be an option to happen in school, because this happened through the school. You would set it up through your high school, but it was over the summer, like it was an extra thing. You paid extra for it. Maybe you would still have to pay extra for it because of everything involved. Driver's Ed. Should driver's ed not be a class that you can take in high school?
You mean during the school day?
During the school day.
Yeah, I agree.
You go to, and why is that not an available class as part of the school curriculum? And again, maybe it is in some, it was not when I was going through, it was an extra thing. I absolutely think this should be something you should be able to do during the school day as part of your class, and for a number of reasons. One, it would be nice if people knew how to drive. Joe, I say it every day when I'm on the road.
Yes.
But two, like, I was thinking back to, you know, when I took the driver ed class during the summer, I had to ride my bike from where I was to the high school. You could only miss like two classes throughout the entire thing or else you failed it. And I remember like one day it was pouring rain throughout the entire, and you know, I'm here, I got to ride my bike miles to go there. I'm not doing that. I'm going to be sitting in there sopping wet in the car with two other people in the back seat. Like so I didn't go. Right.
That makes
there's
sense.
Like all these bare, and guess what? I can't drive there. I'm in the middle of taking driver ed. I don't have a license yet. Like that should be just something third period. Okay, we're going to go to the class. And then once a week, it's you're driving around in the driver ed car for an hour or whatever that you have during the class.
You're right. I mean, because like you said, it's offered through the school, but it's something separate. It's not a and, you know, again, I look back at junior and senior year, Brian. I had so many openings in my schedule, right? I might not have been the smartest student, but my GPA was high enough for me to have free periods and not have to go to study hall. And there was my senior year, I had three free periods in a row. I mean, you could fit a driver's ed class in there. I think that makes perfect sense. Again, something that you're going to use past college would be the classes I'd be looking for. Driver's ed, this financial class. I think that's preparing people more for reality and maybe getting rid of that last year of mathematics.
I want to go to the text board here, 803-0930. A few people weighing it. You know, apparently back in the day, they used to teach a lot of these things that might not get through as much anymore. Somebody texting in, I don't know that it's necessarily people teach you how to be good with money. I think you get raised to not have to buy everything all the time. And you learn there's certain things you should do, certain things you shouldn't do through that. Somebody else saying, my parents made me keep a written checkbook to track expenses. You know, when I asked, who taught this to you? Like, this is why I'm curious. Who taught this to you? It's great if you have parents who either, you know, literally sat down and taught it to you, or just, you know, through osmosis, like you kind of picked up some of their traits and looked at what they did, and that's great. Here's why I think it needs to return to schools, Joe, because I'm reading a story in the USA Today about Kimberly Helmis, who was talking about how after her divorce, so a fully grown woman, spent around $2,000 to $4,000 to take part in a rage retreat where she took a flight over to Scotland, met with a yogi or a guru or whatever, a self-described spiritual fairy godmother. I mean, this is the person you're giving your money to. Oof. In the woods, and then held a rage ritual where you screamed and beat large sticks on the ground in the woods. This is a grown woman spending thousands of dollars to do something my four-year-old does for free on weekends. I don't think parents are able to teach their kids about financial literacy anymore. When I read stories like this, something tells me that we're going to need a little bit more than just a parent's guiding hand here.
Yeah, no. I mean, you get professionals and, you know, you find people, maybe it's a part-time gig, right, where someone comes in and actually teaches finances and teaches you the economy and how to invest your money and pay bills on time and balance a checkbook, which I know everything's on app and no one writes. I think, you know, people should still be balancing checkbooks. Now, I say that I'm a hypocrite. I don't. But I think instead of just looking at your app, you should have your register and you should be balancing your checkbook. Someone else on the text board, Brian, said nothing like debt to make one understand finances. Okay, that's good in theory until someone has put themselves in so much debt they can't get out of it.
It's good, but also can we avoid it?
Right. I mean,
right. Like you can be right and wrong in the same sentence. And I think that's the case here where, yeah, you're right. But we'd like to not, you know, we'd like to avoid the debt in the first place.
Yeah, let's not cross the bridge. We'd like to actually teach it before you cross the bridge.
That would be nice. But it's not just about your money. What else did you wish you learned back then that could have came in handy in life? 803-0930, BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN. Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer with you on WBEN. We're talking about what you wish you knew then to help you in life later on, because over in California, it could actually be on the ballot. Imagine voting against this. Wouldn't it be funny if this was like voted down?
Yeah, right? You have to explain why you voted it down?
An initiative to teach high schoolers about money management in class could be on the ballot in November in California.
This is a class no student leaves saying, how am I going to use this in real life?
A growing initiative to add financial literacy to the list of high school graduation requirements is gaining momentum across the state.
It's really trying to close the gap, level the playing field so that all young people have an opportunity to learn this essential skill.
The course would teach students how to pay for college, how to manage credit scores, online banking, student loans, taxes, budgeting, and other topics.
The more I think about this, it would be hilarious if it was voted down.
Yeah, but I don't think it will be.
I might be rooting for that. That's just ridiculous. But it just seems like a no-duh idea because we've been talking about it for forever, it seems. Everybody I know from, you know, school, not even from my school, just everybody I know who's around my age always says, like, yeah, would have been nice if they taught this in school, like instead of whatever we were doing, playing racquetball, or, you know, like all these things, but or even like more serious things like calculus, or there is like a point in math. I would have, after going through, you know, like the pre-calc and whatever you do in math, instead of taking calculus. And you mentioned replacing it with some sort of financial literacy class. I think that would be helpful for people who don't, you know, see a future in math.
Right.
I think, honestly, it would have been, you could retake the first one just to hammer it in your head more.
Yep.
Right? So, you know, so you don't forget it. And maybe you're, hopefully, you're a little bit better at it the second time around. Just so you're a little more prepared then. But everyone has these things in school that you get. You're really never going to use it. And couldn't that have been replaced with X, Y, or Z? The easy one is everyone goes back to balancing a checkbook. That, I think, should be kind of self-explanatory. But there are other things that are along those lines that I think would be very beneficial for class. But I don't think it has to be just money-related. Could be a million different life skills.
Public speaking.
But that is a high school class.
Is it? I never took it in high school. I mean, it is part of class. You have to get up and give answers. But like a class based on communication.
I guarantee you had a public speaking class in high school.
I did not take public speaking in college.
I'm not saying that you took it, but those classes exist.
Did they? I think I would have taken public speaking. That's something I would have aced. I needed the help on my report card, Brian.
That was a class in college. That was a class in high school, for me at least.
Because I would have taken that over photography. Which I failed.
How'd you fail photography?
Because I couldn't develop the film. I got too much light exposure.
I'm glad I took photography. It came in handy for me with all the different things that you learn. How to work a camera translates over to video. It was great for me. Wouldn't be great for everybody to take. I didn't do my final project in past photography, Joe.
So here's the thing. My camera skills were not at issue. It was my developing skills, and I probably forgot a few assignments. Let's be honest here, but a class in high school revolved around communication of some sort. If that already exists, then great. But I do think communication is failing the current generation.
See, I think those exist. Like
maybe they do. I'm 17 years removed and I don't have the best memory. So maybe.
Public speaking has definitely been a class for forever.
I just don't remember it in my high school.
And we watch, they bring through the communication students here all the time.
Yeah. I don't think Amherst had that. We didn't have a Colziel at Amherst.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But I mean, there's things like English class could be that.
Yeah.
You're writing, you're talking about stuff.
Reading to the class.
I think driver's ed should be a class, maybe not mandatory, but it should be at least offered as part of your day in high school instead of like something extra that you have to do. Because key word in here is you're learning how to drive. You don't have a license yet. How are you going to get to it?
Right.
for a lot of kids, like maybe you live close to the school, maybe you don't. It can take a lot of effort and a lot of money. Why not teach that? Wouldn't it be beneficial to have more people who know how to drive on the roads?
I was thinking that during the break. I was fortunate. My driver's ed class, I was thinking back, and there were several times where they would come around and pick up the students. So I actually did get picked up. I think it was because of weather, if I remember correctly. I also lived right next to the school. But there were a few days where they'd pick up a student, and then that student would drive the car to the next student's house. I do remember that a few times in driver's ed.
I think they had it offered you could do it right after school, but those were snatched up immediately.
Of course,
it was like a lottery to get in to the right after school one, so I had to do it during the summer. But it should have been a class, I think, at least.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Obviously, I agree with the financial thing. I think those things would go to use more than some of the stuff that you're just getting out to get out in your senior year.
But what about you? 803-0930, is there something that you wish they taught in high school or wherever that they didn't? And could have helped you later in life? What would you kick out of school if you had that opportunity? And, you know, when it comes to the financial stuff that they're talking about doing in California, something I think I would support here in New York, right? If they put that on the ballot, should some sort of financial literacy course be mandated for kids getting out of school after everything we've talked about with the loans and all this stuff so many years? I would certainly support it. How did you get to where you are at this point in life? If you didn't learn it in school, how did you learn it? Was it parents? Was it somebody else just through experience?
Trial and error.
I mean, it could be that. 803-0930. You know, quite a few people on here talking about how their parents taught them about, you know, money. Someone typing in, anytime my parents loaned me money, they charged me interest, even when I was a kid. Hey. It's not a bad little.
And teach you interest, yeah. And do you really need it?
Do you really need it? I could see that being a good tool because a lot of times it would be like low stakes. You know, if you're getting something or you want something that you don't have the money for, you don't want to pay for it yourself, okay, I will give this to you. But now you owe me X amount of dollars with whatever the interest is. You're going to pay more for it. If you don't have the money, or you can wait a little bit, save up the money yourself, and go get it.
Yeah, that teaches interest, which I think hits a lot of people when they get that first credit card and they get that first bill and go, "Wait a minute, I just put a jersey on this. What's the extra charge?"
Auto health. Somebody just typed in. I can see that. They also wrote, "What about insurance?" I think that's a great class. Just explaining it all.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I mentioned at the top of the show, I had to use, I mean, just what a, by the way, insurance. Like, come on. I got into the wrong industry. Like, to have something that you hopefully don't need. You need to have it.
Right.
You hopefully never use it, but you pay for it every month. And then even when you need it, they still make you pay for some of it.
Of course.
I mean, like, what an industry. I got into the wrong thing. Yeah. If they did have a little bit of an insurance 101 in high school, I think I'd be running my own business down on Main Street somewhere.
You'd have a lot of competition, though.
I would have a lot of competition just because you'd realize it. But auto health, yeah, that's. I feel like that's tougher to do nowadays. Like, I think that's almost a more specialized. The simple stuff, sure, might still be simple. Sometimes it's even not.
Yeah.
Like, you open up the hood to my car, it's like. It looks nothing like the hood, under the hood of even a car 10 to 15 years ago.
No, yeah.
It's a spaghetti plate of wires.
I hear from people who know how to change headlights. You know, I don't know how to do any of that. That even some of
these, you do.
Some of these newer cars now, you still have to take them somewhere because it's such a process.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, some of it, you have to remove parts of the car to change the headlights.
Yeah.
Which is just...
That's by design, if you ask me.
I'm sure, and some of it, but everything's so crammed together, it is kind of crazy. But I don't hate that idea. Auto health, right? They teach like you can go to like the auto repair program,
right?
But shouldn't there be something that requires maybe a little less commitment,
right?
Just to kind of give you the basics and before you dive headfirst in there, because if you do that, you're kind of like. Already saying at 16 years old, all right, like, let's go. This is going to be me, which for some people it's fine. But there should be like a little, you could dip your toes in it type of thing.
I had a class where we built the ticket booth for the football football stadium. That for some people, I'm sure that class went far, right? They probably build on the skills they learned in that class. For me, obviously, I could not do that again. I don't have an instructor telling me what to do. I didn't take, but for some people, the same with a car class. Some people would take that away and, hey, now I can change my own oil. I can do this, do that.
If shop was an option, I never heard about it in school. Yeah, see, I'm sure it was, but nobody ever said, hey, this is available.
Here's why I don't think I had the classes that you had.
Well, we didn't go to the same school.
Yes,
I know. So we definitely had different classes, but.
Because we had the shop on the basement level. And I was on the morning announcements, and the teachers involved in the morning announcements were the social studies teacher and the shop teacher. There was no communications teacher. That's why I don't think we had the public speaking class. I wish we did. I wish I was able to take Colziel's class. It would have been awesome.
But that's not even public speaking. Like, public speaking, somebody's got to. Am I, like, crazy here? Everyone has just public speaking. You write something down, or the whole class is you just stand up in front of the class and read whatever.
I mean, I did classes like that, but it wasn't the entire class wasn't around it.
It wasn't called public speaking?
No, I never took a high school class of public speaking, sorry. I had a teacher that made us get up and say things that we were uncomfortable saying in front of the class to get to know everybody, but that was part of health class. That was not public speaking.
Maybe it was baked in then. Every class had to have public speaking with it.
Yeah, I mean.
And so there wasn't a class because no one wanted to take it.
Maybe that's why there shouldn't be a class, because like you said, English class, every day, you know, when we were reading a book, everyone would have to get up and read a part of the book in front of the class. I mean, you did have those skills as part of other classes.
803-0930, what about you? How do you view this? What should you have learned in high school, and who taught you? Donna in Snyder, you're on WBEN. Donna, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Hi. You know, my parents taught us that they had the envelope system, and if you wanted something, okay, it was $20, $30, and you put it in, and you didn't buy the product or, you know, item until you reached that goal. And then once you bought the new TV or whatever it was, you kept that TV, and my father was very handy, and he fixed that TV until it finally was, you know, it wouldn't be cost effective to keep it, and we went out. It's not like today, you know, next year another TV comes in and you have to go and buy it and ditch your other one. But I know the technology, it's a whole different ball game. But you will save if you do this. So I'm really good with money and I have no debts. Everything I own, and I do tend to keep my car, you know, a lot longer than anybody else, and the same thing, you know, get it repaired. So I guess I'm one in a million. But I was taught at an early age. And yes, in high school, I went to Amherst Central. They did teach us with the checkbook and everything else. So, but I graduated in the 1980. So,
yeah,
I'm sorry. Yeah, 1980. I got it.
Yeah, there you go. Donna, thanks for the call. I hope that they do it. Again, I'm not in there every day. And maybe there is. What they're doing in California, they want to make it mandatory. It's not just I don't even remember it being an option.
Right. No, same.
This isn't about offering the class even. This is, all right, this is part of the curriculum. You're going to have to know this. And I think it's just such a smart idea.
Yeah. I mean, New York copies California for so many of the dumb ideas. You would hope that maybe they get an idea from this one. Because, I mean, you don't have to look that further than just America's, how much credit card debt we're in, the saving strategies of Americans. You know, maybe we need a refresher course for this new generation.
Or maybe we can teach a class on how to spend and just bring it throughout the world.
Yes.
And
how to get yourself into a ton of debt. Let's sign me up.
I think we'd do a pretty good job on that. With the point that Donna just there made was a lot of these things. She mentioned fixing a TV. And I mean, they don't even have that available. Like, I remember back, my mom had a TV that was bought from the Stereo Advantage that had a lifetime warranty on it.
Wow.
And it was a lifetime warranty because 15 whatever years, 20 years later, it broke. She brought it to the Stereo Advantage with the lifetime warranty, and they tried to fix the TV. Now, by then, the TV was a little out of style.
Yeah,
the technology. It was a little out of date, and they said, well, we actually can't fix this for you anymore. They don't make any of the parts, so here's whatever your credit is for something else to buy. But, like, that kind of stuff is gone.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, when Donna said that, I remember my parents, they had this nice RCA tube television. And they only had it for a few years, and it started to, the picture would sink down, like, after 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there'd be, like, this big black line on top.
You just whack it.
Well, no, they took it to a TV repairman and, like, you know, fixed it. Now, I mean, and again, I don't think these TVs are, I don't think people take these new TVs to get repaired, or maybe.
Well, you can't. That's exactly the thing. Like,
so as soon as a TV goes, you're on to a new one.
If you have a warranty now, which they come with some sort of warranty, it's not a lifetime warranty. It's probably like 90 days or whatever it is. But now if, you know, the TV, if something goes wrong with it, you take it in. They just give you a new one and throw the other in a landfill.
Right.
Like, there's no repairing. It's not made the same. They're not made to be repaired. And a lot of the they're actually impossible to repair. Or the repair would cost just as much as having a brand new one, which is kind of wild. So a lot of that stuff that you might have learned back in the day of how to be handy when it comes to electronics, like, some of it's outdated. Or it can't be used anymore.
I remember my favorite detective. He kept on going back to the TV repair place because the guy was taking so long, and his dog loved watching the TV.
I mean, what in your house is still the same to repair, like, aside from the house itself, that it was 20, 30 years ago? I mean, the list is probably short.
Yeah, I mean, because back in the day, like you said, TV, VCR, all that stuff. You didn't go to the store and buy a new one. Yeah. You went to the repair place.
Like, we have a gas oven, and when that broke down, I forgot what I put. But, like, it's easy enough to repair. But if I had an electric oven and something went wrong with it, like, unless it's one of the physical parts and has nothing to do with the electronics inside, like, would I have been able to repair that as easy? Or would that be just, like, instantly you have to call somebody?
Absolutely shot. Yeah.
I kind of think it is.
Yeah.
Like, once you start getting into wires, then it's, you know, you can do some stuff, but, you know, I don't know at the end.
It is funny. I mean, just how many things were, like, repairable. I mean, anything in your entertainment center back in the 90s, you took to a repair shop. And remember, there used to be TV, VCR, radio repair shops in every town. You know what I mean? Like, you had a place that you would take it, and now you can't even buy the parts for it because Radio Shack's closed.
Well, or, I mean, if you want something that's repairable, like an old, you know, speakers that are repair, these things are so much money.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just the repairable things that you have. I mean, there's a reason why there's only like one or two places in all of Western New York that even would take it in anymore.
Right.
Because there's so hardly anybody has it. Because if you have something that's above replacement level, it's almost prohibitively expensive to get. And when you do, it's so rare that one of these things would break down in a way that it needs repair. It's like, geez, if you ran a speaker repair shop, what are you seeing, like one customer a month? I mean, it's got to be rough.
Yeah, I mean, somehow keeping the doors open, like you said, there's one or two still around in Western New York. Speaking of electronics in the 90s, did you ever have the rechargeable batteries?
Oh yeah, you made your thumbs bleed when yes, you pressed them.
Exactly what I was thinking of. Yeah, and you'd put them in the. And my parents had this little charging port, and it would sit in the living room in the back corner, and you would watch it. And then like you said, you'd make your thumbs bleed.
And make that, or even the ones that weren't rechargeable, you could just check the charge. And you watch that, you know, uranium or whatever's in there go up the green chute.
Because you want to make sure before you got into a game of Pokemon that you had enough battery.
I had to replace the batteries in our one smoke detector, and it said, you know, it's one of these fancy smoke detectors. Use lithium batteries to replace it. And I said, whatever. And just, you know, put some AA. Less than a week later, it drained the AA battery. So now I have the lithium batteries that I have to. I had to say, okay, directions.
You got me.
I guess you were right on this one. It's I'm at your mercy.
Well, speaking of repairs, Brian, hope the windshield replacement goes well.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see, Joe. I'm so happy to be heading out right now.
I can tell. Brian, go on your way. Hopefully the windshield is beautiful once it's on the car. We'll be back here tomorrow to wrap up the week. David Bellavia is up next, following the news with Lucas Buckley on News Radio 930 WBEN.